The Health and Human Services Department identified $712 million this summer in false health care billings and brought charges against 234 people. It's the largest action the Medicare Fraud Strike Force has ever taken. The department's inspector general credits the success to the data sets it gathered and studied to find new cases of waste, fraud, and abuse. Carol Brzmikiewicz is the assistant inspector general and chief data officer at HHS. She tells Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco where she thinks agencies are headed with big data and what best practices her office has found.
The Open Data Initiative has been really important as a forcing function to get organizations to organize what they have and to think about what data they could share. But a lot of the data that they have, there's a lot of richness to it that they could share with their sister agencies within their departments. And I think what I've seen now is that aha moment that, hey, we could probably do better sharing within the government, and how do we go about doing that? And I see that as coming front and center now within organizations to figure out how to better utilize the data, not only that's public, but other data sets that maybe they just haven't shared yet, but they could with each other.
How does the budget climate factor into what your office does? How do CRs and sequestration factor into what you're trying to do? And how do you convince top leadership that what you're working on is important and it is a priority?
So as a senior leader, I always tell my teams I really have two levers, right? We either can get more resources to try to get the work done that we have to get done, or we need to prioritize and say no to some things and set expectations appropriately. So fortunately, I've just been very lucky that I've been able to maintain an open dialogue about what the priorities are and what we need to achieve. And I have a really good team that's willing to step up and work extra to get things done, and then we just have a really good open conversation about what we can actually achieve with what we have on hand. So I think from that regard, it really is about leadership and having open dialogue to influence what we can actually achieve.
You mentioned that you see young people come in and they just want to play around with data, they just want to get involved. Can you talk a little bit about what that experience is like, bringing in younger people, and how do you get them to stay?
So I think what it really comes down to is identifying a meaningful project and giving our new talent an opportunity to really excel. So some of the folks that we've had, right, even over the summer, we had a wonderful student that's going to school at Yale, came in and gave a really cool project to, and just gave her the freedom to explore the data and put together some summary findings and then present them to a leadership team. So sometimes people bring in students and they don't have the forethought to really figure out how they're going to integrate them onto the team, think about what skills you want to have them learn while they're there, and make it a meaningful experience for both you as the hosting organization, but also the student. Right. So I think for us what's been successful is really thinking about the student and what's going to help add value to them, what they're going to learn. And I think that's actually what we're finding is that helps us then with our recruiting for future students, because then they've had a positive experience. What we did want to learn is how can we do better with onboarding, because it's been a while since the government's had an opportunity to hire. So what we also wanted to do, and we set it up front, is this is an opportunity for us to do lessons learned, figure out what worked well, what didn't, how we can make it better to really improve the experience. So I think we're open to feedback, and that's really been meaningful as well.
You mentioned what the dynamic is like having younger people as part of your staff and then career people that have been there 30 years, maybe as old as the legacy systems that you mentioned. What is that dynamic like? How do they work together? Do you find that it's a fruitful experience for everyone involved?
I think part of this is sensitizing people to the generational differences. And I know if you've been talking about stereotypes, what people are expecting from the job and kind of the structure that they want, the hierarchy they want, access to people, things like that. And so as you raise awareness of the team of just what to expect, even in stereotype, that really helps create a positive environment for everyone to understand where people might be coming from. I think what I've found that's actually been really helpful is that there is a cross-generational sharing of knowledge. So there's been some recent articles out about how millennials might need help with soft skill gaps, and so that helps to partner them with some of our more seasoned folks. And then for our more seasoned folks, it's getting them exposed to some of the latest and greatest technology and thought and approaches. And it's really been some powerful combinations when you combine the skill sets.
It can be risky to do some of the things that you described, particularly with data, particularly with launching maybe new data initiatives and getting more people involved. Can you talk a little bit about what your philosophy is behind that?
So I think my perspective, having come from Department of Homeland Security and being responsible for risk and decision analysis, right? Risk is a really big word, and so it can depend on whether you're thinking strategic risk, operational risk, tactical risk, programmatic risk. I think for the audit community in particular, right, what we're doing is trying to manage risk. And so the interesting thing now is just providing some consistency across the organization of how are we thinking about that, maybe elevating some conversations that are already happening and really thinking about it for the whole enterprise. I know Health and Human Services as a whole is now implementing enterprise risk management. And so now we're staying connected to those efforts to make sure what we're doing maps to that, or at least we understand where that is. So as we're evolving, we're really thinking about how are we managing risk. I'm sensitive from my previous role that you can't necessarily quantify everything. You can quantify some. So there is going to be some senior level judgment required. But really it's about, you know, I talked about this a lot, facilitating a process. It's being very deliberate in facilitating a process, even in managing risk and how we think about that, and being very deliberate with the leadership team about what that means.
You described an environment that was very collaborative, particularly with the auditors, the lawyers, the data scientists that you had involved, particularly with that big fraud detection project that you talked about. Is that something that happens often within your office? Is that something that you would like to see more of? I don't know if you can speak to that a little bit.
So I had mentioned that I have really great leadership, and I'm really supportive. I really appreciate their support. And they're supportive of collaborative efforts across the organization. So I think what's happened over the past several years under the budget constraints is people had so much on their plates that they kind of went back to their world and said, here's all the things I have to do. Maybe they weren't collaborating as much, but really you get a lot of efficiency when you do collaborate, right? And so there were some definite focused efforts from senior leadership to pull together some practices, if you will, some focused targets of how people could collaborate to come together to work on these problems. So that fraud detection effort was really a collaborative effort because everyone was behind the mission and leadership supported it, and we knew what we were trying to achieve.
You've been in this position for 6 months. You described a little bit of, you know, what that process has been like from day one to now. Where do you see your office going in the future? What are some challenges that you think you'll have to encounter?
So really I look at this as I'm in startup mode. Right, and I think there's no one chief data officer role across the whole federal government right now. It very much is a new field. So it really is about what we're designing and what's going to work for this organization. Where I see us now is I think I want to make sure we have smart growth. That's actually one of my biggest challenges, is to make sure that when we bring on new talent, we're bringing on the right talent, that we actually go through the, you know, crawl, walk, run phase to make sure that we're going to build on our successes. So it's making sure that the expectations of what we want for the office, that we can actually deliver based on when we can bring people on board, and that's going to be my near term, you know, the next 12 months to manage that.